Well, if you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Jonah, and we're going to read the first chapter, Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, and to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then they said unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea roared and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea roared and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Let's just pray once again. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you continue to speak. And we pray, Lord, even now, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that we would be drawn closer to you and see you afresh, Lord, that we would have fresh zeal for your name and for your work, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're no doubt very familiar with the story of Jonah, how he's commanded to go and preach to Nineveh, this wicked city, an enemy of the people of Israel, and how he's told to go and cry with a word to them, and he knows that God is a merciful God. He's a God that is full of loving kindness, and fearful that God would show mercy to this city, he runs away and flees in the exact opposite direction, and flees to Tarshish. And that shows something of his heart. But what I really want to focus on this morning, and really as our starting point, is these words in verse 5 and then in verse 6. It says, But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Here we see a man who is a prophet, a man called by God, a man called to speak the very words of God and proclaim God's judgments, God's mercies, God's word. And here we find now, we find Jonah as a sleeping prophet. He's a silent prophet and he's a sleeping prophet. And he who is meant to be speaking forth the word of God and directing people and pointing people, he is now just a sleeping prophet. And when we think of Jonah here, I want us to think of how symbolic Jonah is of the church, because God has called out the church to be a prophet in this day. Yes, we know that there are individuals who are called to be prophets, who have got that prophetic ministry, who have that ministry, that have those spiritual gifts. But he has also called out the church to be a prophet in this day. And that's what he's called us to be. And yet, the question comes to us, and we can see this in the nation, but we have to ask ourselves as a local assembly, are we a sleeping prophet, or are we a prophet that is awake and speaking forth the word of God and proclaiming it and giving life to the people who are in need? It's incredible how we see the contrast between the mariners, the people on the ship, and Jonah. Jonah's meant to be awake. He's meant to be speaking forth the word. He's meant to be giving them something, some direction, and he's asleep. And yet it's the people on the ship who are the heathens, as it describes. They're the ones that are awake. Now they're spiritually dead in that they have no fellowship with God, and yet they're the ones who are awake. They see the storm, and Jonah, in the midst of the storm, has shut his eyes to it, has closed his heart to it. He's closed his heart to God and to his problems around him, and he's gone down into the depths of the ship, and he's asleep. And yet the people on the ship are fully aware of the storm. And they're so aware of it that they're full of fear, and they're crying out to their gods, and they're casting out all the things in the ship to lighten the load. And we see something of this in our generation. We see that there are many people in this world who are well aware of the storms that are raging in society today. It was prayed earlier of the storms that surround us, and there are many unbelievers who are aware of the storms, and they're looking to try and find answers. They see the broken families, they see the mess that society is in. They see it all, and they're trying to sort out problems within their own strength, or looking to their own gods. They're looking to the government to sort it out. They're looking to psychiatrists. They're looking to social workers, and they're saying maybe these will be the people that will sort out the storm, will be the solution to the storm. And you've got other people who are crying out, and they're saying, maybe my answer is in the drugs and the drink, and that's going to be the answer to the storm. I'm in a storm, and maybe these things are going to be the answer. They're fully aware of the storm in their own personal situation. They're aware of the storm in society. They see things that are a mess, but they're crying out to their own gods for the solution. And it says, and that they started to cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. They were taking all these vessels, all the things that were in the ship, and they start to cast them out. And it's almost a picture of the burdens that people are carrying. They've got all these burdens, and they think, if only I could get rid of these burdens, then we'll be able to get through the storm. But the storm is so strong, is so heavy, that it's not making any difference at all. And the reason there is because they're casting They're trying to cast the burdens, but they're not casting it upon the Lord. Instead of casting it upon the Lord, they're just trying to shut their minds from these problems. And so that's the picture of the contrast between Jonah, who's meant to be the prophet. He's meant to be coming with a word. He's meant to be coming with something that's full of hope and life and direction. And then we've got the people on the ship who are aware of the storm, but don't have any answer to the problem. And we have to see ourselves as the church. We have to see ourselves and ask ourselves, are we a sleeping prophet, or are we a voice that comes in the midst of their storms, in the midst of the storm? And as we see Jonah, what we see here is a man that has shut himself off from God, such as the storm has come because of his own disobedience to God and how he's run from God. And instead of addressing that, he shuts himself away. And he says, I'm going to go right down into the depths of this ship, and I'm just falling asleep. And we might think, that's incredible. How can he fall asleep in the midst of this raging storm? And we could ask ourselves, how is it that we can run from God and God be speaking to us and challenging us, and yet we shut our ears and shut our eyes to what God is trying to say to us when he's speaking to us when we're not doing as he calls us to do? How is it that the church can be asleep and not hear what God is saying to the church? How is it that the church can stay in compromise? How can the church remain asleep when it's meant to be a voice piece? And it's just for the same reason as Jonah. It's a means of just shutting out what God, the voice of God. But it also shows that he didn't care about anybody else. There were all these other people who were in the midst of the storm. The storm was raging, and he just doesn't care. They're full of fear, they're full of panic, they're trying to do anything that they can in the midst of this storm. But he doesn't care. He's just going to go down, and it's he's immersing himself in his own problems and his own situation. But then it says, which is quite an extraordinary verse, if we go down to verse 12, and this is in response to what he's meant to do, but I want to just deal with it at this point. In the second half of verse 12, it says, So shall the sea be calm unto you, if they take him up and cast him into the sea. For I know that for my sake the great tempest is upon you. Now that's an amazing thing to say, because he's saying you're suffering as well because of my sin. My sin has meant that I'm suffering this storm. But because of my sin, because of my disobedience, because I'm not being the prophet I'm meant to be, because I'm not speaking as I'm meant to be, because I'm not awake, as it were, and because I've been sleeping, not only has the storm come to me, but the storm is now affecting you. And this is what happens in society. We can look around at society, and we can see a storm, and we can see that all these people are crying out to their gods, they're crying out to the psychiatrists, they're crying out to the government. You see the people, as it were, kind of in uproar about the things that are going on in society. And maybe there are a lot of people who are aware of the breakup of society, and they're going to the social workers, etc. And they're doing all this. But it says this storm has come about because of me. You're being affected. So we can't look at the church in isolation. We can't look at the church as a prophet in this day and say, well, If we fail to do what the Lord wants us to do, He will judge us, He will deal with us. We know that judgment begins at the house of God, and that's true, and we see that in how God deals with Jonah. And we know that that's true. But what we do and where our failing will lead to that storm also affecting society. We cannot expect us to live in isolation and say, oh, well, yes, the Lord will deal with us, and he will judge us, and he will convict us, and he will deal with us as he pleases. But society is something different. Here it's saying something which is a profound thing. It's saying, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. So when we look at the world and we see the world is in a great tempest, it's because the church has not been a speaking prophet. It's been asleep, it's been silent, it hasn't been the voice of God, and it's run from God, and it's been in compromise. And it's said that we will not be speaking as we should. The incredible thing is that the people on the ship, they were crying out to their God. And Jonah isn't crying out to God. And even when they get hold of him and say, what are you doing being asleep? He still doesn't cry out to God. And we might think, well, the world aren't coming to us as the church and calling us to cry out to God. I beg to differ. I think unbelievers are coming to people and saying, well, if you believe in God, if you believe in a miracle working God, if you believe in a God that changes lives, and you believe in miracles, and you believe that God really does do the things that you say he does, why aren't we seeing it? Because we do hear people coming to us and asking that question. Well, if you believe in a God that does extraordinary works, why aren't we seeing it? And they come to him and say, arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And he still doesn't cry out to his God. Now, well, they were crying out to their gods. Why was Jonah silent before his God? Why wasn't he interceding on behalf of the people? I believe that the heart of it was because that fellowship with the Lord, because of his disobedience, had caused his heart to as it were harden and dry up, and so he wasn't in a position to intercede. And yet the prophet should have been interceding. He should have been coming before the Lord and seeking the face of the Lord on behalf of these people. And that's the great need to cry out on their behalf. And that's what the people need outside. They need intercessors. They need a prophetic church that will intercede, that will be stand in that gap, that will be the intercessors that God has called us to be, that will come forth with a word that will speak into their situation. But Jonah was silent. Then it says that they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. And that's again an amazing thing, that immediately that they cast Jonah into the sea, then there is calm. And something has been going on with Jonah, because now he's admitting his own fault. He's admitting that he's been the cause of the problem. He's admitting that the storm has come because of his own sin. He's admitting that the cause of the problem that they've experienced has been because of him. And now there's this great honesty of Jonah, and which then comes in its fullness in the next chapter, which we haven't read. But the next chapter, where he's cast into the deeps, he's found in the belly of the great fish, and he prays to the Lord in repentance. But it's an acknowledgement of his failure, his acknowledgement that he's the reason for the storm. And that's what ultimately changes things. It's that's where the beginning is. the beginning of a change in our society, a beginning of the change in the people that are around us, begins with us saying, I'm the problem. That's where revival always begins. Revival always begins with me saying, I'm the problem. It starts with me. It's not looking at someone else. It's not looking at society and saying, there's the problem. Or looking at that church and saying, that's the problem. Or it's the people that are sat next to me that's the problem. It's one person saying, I've been called as a prophet and I've failed and I'm a sleeping prophet and I'm a silent prophet and I'm a compromising prophet and I've gone my own way and I've disobeyed God and I've gone in the complete opposite direction, because that's what he did when he went, when he said, I'm fleeing to Tarshish and going in the exact opposite direction that God had called him to go. And when he acknowledged it, and when he acknowledged his own fault, that meant that God provided a great fish to swallow him up, and he began to do something amongst the people who were around about him. But we see here this real theme of rising up from our sleep. And if we turn to Romans 13, we see this. Romans 13 and verse 11. It says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armour of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfil the lusts thereof. It says the night is far spent, the day is at hand. The Lord's return is drawing closer and closer. It says that now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The time is short. In Ephesians it says redeem the time. The day is evil, therefore redeem the time. And it's calling us to awake from our sleep, awake from our slumber, and be the church that we're meant to be that prophetic church, be the voice that speaks, that speaks out of a place of holiness. It says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? It's to be utterly yielded to him, to be walking in submission to him. And out of that place, the person who's put on Christ is the person who is no longer slumbering. The person who is yielded fully to Christ, no compromise, just absolutely humbled himself to Christ, is the person who will be a prophetic voice in our day. And the Lord is calling the church to be a prophetic voice. It's calling the church to have a word that will speak right into the society today. It's no good just to come with repetitions of the gospel. It's no good just to say it again and again and again. But it's got to be a word that cuts deep right into people's hearts, that's living, that's alive, that where they can say, okay, I need you to pray for me. And the saints go into their closet and they pray for the unbeliever, and they see miracles performed on their behalf because they're really doing business with God. That's a prophetic church. That's a church that speaks. That's a church that knows their God. And that's what Jonah should have been doing. And even then, after he's spewed out of the great fish, even then, and he sees Nineveh repenting and how God is merciful, see how he still hasn't changed. In chapter 4 it says this in verse 2,
and it says that it displeased Jonah, and it says, "For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil." He was displeased with Jonah. I wonder why he was displeased. And the reason, I believe, is because he loved judgment more than mercy. And yet, in the book of James, it says mercy rejoices over judgment. And when we see society doing all the things that they're doing, when we see the rebellion in our nation, when we see the rebellion of the people around us, and the blasphemy and all the things that they're doing, I wonder if actually we look at mercy and we say mercy rejoices over judgment, or are we looking for the judgment of God? We get the heart of God, and the prophet will always have the heart of God. The person who is awake and is speaking the words of God and is yielded to Christ, and so has the mind of Christ, will see things as God sees them. And we see that summed up in the last verse of the book of Jonah. It says, and should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? God says, should I not spare them? And he sees it because he says, this is a people that cannot discern between their left hand and their right. They have no concept of the things of God. They have no concept of good and evil. They're blind. They're completely blind. Should I not have mercy? Should not mercy triumph over judgment? And the Jonah came as became a sleeping prophet because, first of all, there was because within his heart there was a desire to see judgment triumph over mercy. On the surface of things, you might say he had every reason. Here was Nineveh, the great enemy of his people, coming against them. He could say, well, look, you promised blessings to those who love you and serve you, and these people are against your people. And so you could look on the surface and say, did not he have justification to say, may judgment triumph over mercy? But he said, but God says, no, you're failing to understand me. Mercy must triumph over judgment, and mercy rejoices over judgment. And so if we're going to be that prophetic church in our day, then that's how we are to be. Final passage I just want us to turn to is in Luke. Luke chapter 6 and verse 36. We often speak of the commandment and the exhortation, be holy for I am holy. God says, be holy for I am holy. But I wonder how often we hear this said. Luke chapter 6 and verse 36. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. We stress God is holy, therefore we're to be holy. Here it's saying God is merciful, therefore we're to be merciful. Judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you shall be given. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall man give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. This is what it's talking about when it says, give and you shall receive. It's as you give in mercy, so you'll receive mercy. And it's saying, if you want to be, if you're going to put on Christ, if you're going to be as God is, if you're going to have his burdens, if you're going to be a prophet in this day and age, if the church is going to rise up and be prophetic, if it's going to see the storm in society quelled, then it's got to see, understand that mercy triumphs over judgment. It's got to have a love for the people. And that's what Jonah failed to do. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we walking as Jonah is, a sleeping prophet, or are we going to rise up and awake and be a voice piece and God's mouthpiece to the people? God has raised up the church to be a prophet in our day and to see mercy triumph over judgment. We can look at the state of things. We can be so consumed with the state of things and how people are rejecting God's laws. But they are a people who do not know their left hand from their right. That's what we're facing in society. And he's called us not to run away, but to run to them in love. And to be people who have put on Christ, humbled themselves before him, and yielded to him. Amen.